Every White House is a bubble, but with Trump, it's exponentially more so. That observation was made to me by author Chris Whipple, informed by his interviews last year with Susie Wiles, the White House Chief of Staff. It captures a key aspect of President Donald Trump's second term. More than ever, he is operating on gut and instinct. He launched the war on Iran when he wanted, and he says it will end soon. My story today from Washington explores how an increasingly emboldened president is shaping the conflict. We also have Scott Peterson looking at Iran's strategy, plus coverage from Israel, where the question is, will Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu settle for less than regime change in Iran? It's Friday, March 13th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A Michigan synagogue was targeted in an attack. A suspect is dead after ramming a truck into the Temple Israel synagogue and engaging in gunfire with security. No other injuries are reported. Located in West Bloomfield, near Detroit, Temple Israel is one of the largest Reform congregations in the United States, with 12,000 members, according to its website, and was organized in 1941. Anti-Semitic attacks, including those targeting synagogues and other Jewish institutions, have surged in recent years in the U.S. and globally. Grammarly pulled back an application of AI. The editing tool Grammarly removed its expert review feature, an AI-powered function that provided specialized feedback designed to improve writing, following an outcry from journalists and authors about its unauthorized use of writers' words and images. Wired magazine reports that the tech firm Superhuman, which owns Grammarly, now faces a class action lawsuit for presenting edits attributed to writers and academics, some deceased, without their permission. Also, a study found that bumblebees can survive underwater. Scientists at the University of Ottawa in Canada reported this week that submerged queens employ anaerobic strategies to lower their metabolism, also carrying a thin layer of air on their bodies, allowing them to effectively go without new oxygen for up to a week. In areas of heavy rainfall, it means more of them have a chance to survive surprise flooding. It's a century-old myth that airplane dynamics make them unsuited to flight. Who knew they could scuba? Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. If the United States expected Iran to capitulate by now, it refuses to do so. Instead, it is pursuing a survival strategy of fighting on and selecting targets to raise the war's costs so high that the U.S. and Israel would think twice before attacking again. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. The disruption of oil tanker traffic is becoming increasingly urgent for the global economy. A key question is how quickly safe passage can be restored, either through force or by ending the war. Laurent Belsey reports for The Monitor. In an era of political partisanship, Senate Republicans and Democrats came together on a bill aimed at addressing housing affordability. Yet disagreements in the House, which had passed its own version of the bill, could still derail the legislation. Scott Baldoff reports for The Monitor. President Donald Trump's supporters say his decision to attack Iran reflects his leadership style of swift, unilateral action. Others see it as impetuous. As the president hints at an endgame, huge questions over the Strait of Hormuz, the Iranian nuclear program, and the country's leadership remain. I, Linda Feldman, report from Washington for The Monitor. Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu has been consistent in stating his Iran war aims, regime change. But can he declare victory without it? An exit strategy needs to be realistic, cautions one Israeli analyst, because if it is not realistic, there is no exit. Contributors Shoshana Solomon and Dina Kraft report from Tel Aviv, Israel, and Washington for The Monitor. The Iran war shows that despite President Trump's rejection of globalization in favor of U.S.-dominated mercantilism and tariff pressure, the world economy still relies on a complex set of international links that can impact all, including the United States. Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on using an oil crisis as an opening for ingenuity. In just the past 6 years, the world economy has been jolted by three sharp rises in oil prices. First, during the pandemic, then after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022, and now a war-battered Iran has begun to block the Strait of Hormuz, a choke point for ships carrying 20 to 30% of the world's petroleum supply. Such energy crises often bring short-term hardship, such as higher gasoline prices. Yet they also spark bursts of innovation that help soften the next disruption to the global oil supply chain. One historic model, the 1973 Arab oil embargo, led many countries to create strategic oil reserves for coordinated release in times of emergency, such as now. With the start of the Iran war, February 28th, creative responses to the current crisis are starting to show up. What is needed now is not alarmism, but foresight, writes Christopher Long, head of intelligence at the security management firm Neptune P2P Group, in the online publication The National. Some American farmers, for example, who are worried about rising prices for fertilizers derived from natural gas, are eyeing a switch to new types of biological sources, such as nitrogen-fixing microbes or fertilizers made with low-emission hydrogen. In the European Union, the latest oil shock helped spur a decision this week to invest 200 million euros, or $230 million, toward designing and building small nuclear power plants as reliable sources of low-emissions power for a continent highly dependent on fossil fuel imports. And with Iran threatening ships crossing the narrow Hormuz Passage, insurers in the maritime industry are coming up with creative ways to lessen fears of lost or damaged vessels. The U.S. International Development Finance Corporation, for example, has offered a $20 billion reinsurance backstop to cargo carriers. The spirit of innovative thinking is never in short supply. Billions of people now facing rising energy costs are on a steep learning curve to devise ways to operate more efficiently or to switch to non-oil sources, such as solar power. For all the limited progress made so far to reduce greenhouse gases, the Iran crisis might accelerate the energy transition. Expensive oil has many benefits, writes Rita McGrath, a Columbia University business professor, in Fast Company magazine this month. It accelerates the relative attractiveness of dematerialized products and services, software over hardware, streaming over shipping, local services over global supply chains, energy efficiency over energy consumption. Sweet are the uses of adversity, Shakespeare wrote, and just as sweet is releasing the fetters of material limits by reshaping the world with innovative ideas and energy. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we express more love as we dive into an understanding of God as love. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Noel Flatt, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.